Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to call your attention in tonight's study to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be focusing on verses 8 through 10. And we're going to title this section, A Description of Salvation. Let me go ahead and read it for you. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, because God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As I said, we're going to entitle this message tonight, A Description of Salvation. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here through the inspiration of the Spirit, explaining the great salvation that we have. So we're going to look about five descriptions, so you listen for them as we go through this text. You can write them down and you can look them up. The first description is that salvation is by grace. It says, for by grace are ye saved. Now, the word grace is defined different ways. One definition is unmerited favor. Unmerited means that you don't earn it. Salvation is not something that you earn, nor is it something that you deserve. It's unmerited favor. God set his affection and love upon you and sovereignly chose to save you, and it was all by his grace, not because of anything in us. Another definition is an acrostic, taking the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's another definition given of grace. I like that one too. But really, the easiest definition is given right in verse 9, when it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. Now, that's basically the definition of grace. When you say that you're saved by grace, you're saying that you're not saved by works. And by works, it means not your works, not of any deeds on your part. It's not your deeds that saves you. It's not the basis of your salvation whatsoever. Now, you can think just for a little bit, if you could be saved by your works, if you could be saved by your deeds, then surely salvation would have been that way. When Jesus prayed in the garden, Father, if this cup can pass from me, as he seen the cross the next day, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and as he seen what was going to happen, and he prayed, Father, of course, he knew what was going to happen. It was ordained before the foundation of the world that he would come and die for our sin. But I think Gethsemane had a purpose. Three times he made the request, Father, if this can pass from me, let it pass. And there, it couldn't pass. If there had been any way an old hell-bound sinner like me or you could have been saved other than the humiliating death of God's Son, I can guarantee you it would have been that way. If you could be saved by your works, Jesus would have never had to die. He said in the book of Galatians, if there had been a law given wherein could have come righteousness, verily salvation would have been by the law. But there was no way that you could be saved other than by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. So salvation is by grace. It's unmerited, it's unearned, it's undeserved, hence the word not of works. That's the idea, I believe. So that's our first description of salvation that we want to see, is it's by grace. Now, in order for salvation to be by grace, folks, it has to be all by grace. And this is sometimes a point I believe that people miss, is sometimes they'll believe that salvation's by grace, but then they make their deeds as a way of keeping them saved. So that would mean salvation is by grace plus works. It can't be that way. Either salvation is all by grace or it is not by grace at all. It's either all by grace or it's all by works. Now, it can't be by works because you can't do enough works to be saved. As a matter of fact, we've all done broken God's law. That means we're all cursed, so that makes salvation by works impossible anyhow. We have to be saved by grace. Listen to this text in Romans chapter 11. I'd like to read to you. It says, verse 5, even so there is at this present time a remnant according to the election of grace, verse 6, and if it be by grace, I want you to listen to this, if it be by grace, then it's no more of works. That means it has to all be by grace. If you mix works, any type of work, any type of deed any type of ordinance with grace, then you lose grace. So it says, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Now, we done a study through the book of Galatians last year. And one of the things that the problem was in the New Testament church is that some of the Jews were coming in and making circumcision a part of salvation. You can see that in the book of Acts chapter 15. There are some of them that taught that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, plus they added circumcision as a part of salvation. They added a work. And in the book of Galatians 5, here's what the Apostle Paul says about that. It says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised," he's addressing that issue of adding circumcision to the gospel, "Christ shall profit you anything." Christ shall not profit you anything. And that's verse 4, "Christ has become of no effect unto you." That makes Jesus meaningless. Either salvation is all by grace, either salvation is all through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, or it makes Christ of no effect. It makes him meaningless, and that's what it was doing whenever they added circumcision. It goes on to say, "Whosoever you are justified by the law are fallen from grace." That's what it means to fall from grace. If you add anything to salvation by grace, then you don't have grace. You've departed from the doctrine of salvation by grace altogether. So the first description of salvation here is that it is by grace. Now let's go ahead. I could preach all night just on the subject of grace and a series on the subject of grace. But this is just, we're looking at a quick study here in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. What's our first description of salvation? Is that salvation is by grace. How much by grace? All by grace. Can't be part of the way. You can't preach a mixed grace and works message for salvation. Now, you need to listen a little bit further now, because salvation by grace that we're going to be looking at, it also includes works, not as the cause of salvation, but as the effect of it. And we're going to talk about that in verse 10. The problem is, many times when people deal with Ephesians 2, they deal with Ephesians 8 and 9, and they leave out verse 10. So we want to look at all of these. Let's get our second description now. Salvation is by grace. Now it says, through faith. Through faith. Faith, of course, comes as a result of the quickening of the Spirit. In the early part of the chapter 2, it says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 1, we were walking a worldly course, and we were by nature children of wrath. But God, who was rich in His mercy and His great love wherewith He loved us, when we were dead, He quickened us. He made us alive. Quickening, like I said in the last broadcast, essentially the same thing as the new birth. And one of the results of the new birth is faith. Faith is not something that you work up on your own. Faith, of course, as salvation, is a gift of God. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. Salvation is a gift. It all is a gift. So he says we're saved through faith. And, of course, faith has to have an object. As we said so many times, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. If you ask someone, are they saved? I've said this to you many times on this radio broadcast. If you ask someone, are they saved? And they say yes, and then you ask them why they say they're saved, how they respond to that question is what the object of their faith is. If they say, I'm saved because of all the good things that they've done, then their faith is in their works. If they say that they're saved because they're a member of such and such a church, then their faith is in their church membership. So how they respond to that question is what reveals what the object of faith is. Now, saving faith has as its object Jesus Christ. He is the object of our faith. If you ask me why I'm saved, if you ask me why I'm going to heaven, it's because that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again the third day. That is the gospel message. That's the power of God, Romans 1, unto salvation. And you're saved by receiving that message. My faith is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He's the object, and His Word is the object. Of course, His Word promises to save those who believe. Those who repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He promises to save them. Now, in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says that we are justified by faith. The book of Galatians 3, verse 26 says we are children of God by faith. So, salvation is by grace and it's through faith. Faith is how salvation is transacted to the sinner. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life, all the great salvation benefits is transacted through the means of faith. So we're saved by grace through the means of faith. In the book of Romans chapter 4, and read just a little bit, boy, you could preach the whole broadcast on faith too, but it says in verse 5, by him, or but to him that worketh not. In other words, the person is not working for their salvation. There's too many people that are trying to work for the wrong reason. I believe in God's people working, but I believe in God's people working because they are saved, not to get saved. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, that's the word believe, means is the same thing, same meaning as faith. It means to trust in. But believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. Even as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, when you by faith receive what the Scripture says and you trust that He died for you and rose again, then He imputes to you, He charges to your account His righteousness. Of course, we realize that this is called imputed righteousness. That's how much righteousness it takes to go to heaven. We ask that question all the time to folks. It takes 100% righteousness to go to heaven. If you're saying, Jeff, I'm not 100% righteous, well, no man ever was but one, and that's the Lord Jesus. And when you receive Him as your Savior, He takes all of His sin, or I'm sorry, He takes all of your sin. He had no sin. He takes all of your sin, and it's charged to Him. It was charged to Him on Calvary, and He pays for all of it. And then He takes all of His righteousness, His perfect 100% righteousness, His complete keeping of the law, and He charges that to you. And then God declares you righteous. And that's what the word justified means. But you're justified by faith. So you're saved through faith. So that's the second description of salvation. Let's go ahead and turn back to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace, that's the first description, we're saved by grace. That simply means not of works. And then the second description is we're saved through faith. Now, there's a reason why salvation is by faith. Of course, God's ordained salvation to be that way, but let me quote to you a text out of the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, therefore, it is of faith. Now, that's talking about salvation. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. In other words, the reason why salvation is by faith is because salvation is not a work. Faith is always in something. Faith is always in an object. But the object is what does the work. And I've given this illustration also to you many times. If you're going to have a surgery and you say you have faith in your doctor, the object of that faith is your doctor. But when you have your surgery, who does the work? Well, the doctor does. So when you say that the object of your faith is Jesus Christ, He did the work. You see, faith is always in an object, and the object does the work. So salvation is by grace, and it's through the means of faith. If you're listening to me, and you've trusted Jesus, I pray that you have. But if you've not, how you get saved, how you receive eternal life, how you receive the removal of your sins, and how you become a child of God is by faith in Jesus Christ. You trust Him. You trust that He died on the cross for you and rose again the third day. Won't you do that? Won't you do that? You don't even wait to the end of the broadcast. You can do that right now as you're listening to me. Maybe you realize He died, but now for the first time you realize why He died and rose again. And make Him the object of your faith, not your good deeds. You can't do enough. You cannot do enough. That's why so many will stand before the Lord one day and will say, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? And He will profess to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, they never mentioned him. He's the basis of salvation, and he must be the object of your faith. Now, let's get the third description here out of the book of Ephesians. For by grace is the first one, through faith is the second one. Now, let's get the third one. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, this is the third description of salvation, and that is that salvation is a gift of God. Now, just think about that just a little bit. When you're thinking about a gift is something that is purchased by someone else. And of course, this is not the only text that mentions that salvation is a gift. It's important that you realize it's a gift. It's not a prize you earn. And that's what a lot of folks think about salvation. It's a prize that somehow you can earn by all the good things that you do. It's a gift. It's a gift that's being purchased by someone else. You know, it wasn't long ago that we observed Christmas, and maybe some of you between now and then have had birthdays and people purchased for you a gift. Well, a gift is something that someone else purchased. A gift is something that someone else bought and paid for. A gift is something that someone else labored for. So when you're talking about salvation, being called a gift, someone else worked for it. You know who worked for that gift? You know who bought and paid for that gift? Jesus did. Matter of fact, one of his sixth statement from the cross was, "It is finished." And the word "it is finished" means paid in full. He purchased the gift of salvation by dying on Calvary's cross and rising again the third day, my friend. And it is a free gift, and it is a gift of grace. Both of those, Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Well, how do you get a gift? You don't earn it. You receive it. You receive it. Now, I give this text to you last week, and when we talked some about the new birth. But in the Gospel of John chapter 1, it says, as many as received Him. See? Received who? Received the Lord Jesus. To Him gave He authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. To believe on Jesus, to trust in Jesus, to put your faith in Jesus, is to receive Him. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives you eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, see, it's a gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It's not a prize. It's a free gift. It's a gift that's been purchased. And it's a gift that you receive. So let's notice all three descriptions so far together. For we're saved by grace. That means not of works. Through the means of faith. It's through faith because faith is not a work. It's always in an object. And the object is what does the work. In order for salvation to be all by grace, it had to be through faith. Then he goes on to say it's a gift of God. And, of course, the gift of that salvation, the gift of God, we know is eternal life. And Jesus is the one that purchased that. He met all the demands of the law. And He purchased our redemption, setting us free out of the slave market of sin. And He's the one that paid our price. So, the gift, salvation is a gift. Oh, how important it is for people to realize that salvation's by grace, it's through faith, and it's a gift. It's not something you earn. There's so many people trying to earn their way to heaven. And then they think they deserve heaven. My friend, you don't deserve it. It's a gift. And it's given to you through the means of faith in Christ. And my friend, it's all by the grace of God. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to the next description. We've done covered three. Let's go ahead and move on to the next description given here of salvation. It says, not of works. Now, we used that verse already, or half the verse. But I want you to look at the latter part of verse 9. It's not of works, lest any man, of course that includes mankind, anybody, should boast. Of course, this is the fourth description of salvation in this text, is that it excludes boasting. And that's the great thing about salvation by grace through faith, is it excludes boasting on your part. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could earn your way to heaven, and you can't, I've done pointed that out, you can't. You could never do enough anyhow. Done broke God's law anyhow. There's no way that you can. But if you could, boy, that would give you a right to brag. Men loves to brag on all that they've worked hard for and earned. Well, since this is not by works, since salvation is not by man's works, it excludes boasting on man's behalf. And that's what it says here. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't have any reason to boast in our salvation. There won't be anybody in heaven that brags on their salvation either. There's a couple of descriptions in the book of Revelation, I believe, where it depicts people in heaven. And it says, let me go ahead and read this to you in the book of Revelations. Read just a couple texts. Just gives you a couple of worship scenes. In Revelations 4:10, it says that 24 elders fell down. This is a group that represents saved people. Revelations 4:10. They fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. And they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Notice who they're giving glory to. They're giving glory to God. Have another group, four beasts, and the 24 elders, both representing the saved in some fashion. It says they sing a new song. And notice they're singing a song of redemption. That's why we know they represent saved people. It says, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals, for thou wast slain, and you've redeemed us to God out of every, by thy blood. Now notice it says, you've redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Who's getting all the praise there? They're boasting in Christ. They're boasting in the Lord. And another picture in Revelation chapter 7 has a picture of a great multitude which no man can number. And they have on white robes. And here's what the white robes represent. The white robes represent, it says they've washed their robes. Revelation 7:14, they've washed their robes and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, my friends, anytime you read in the book of Revelations and it's talking about God's people, they're described as having on white robes. And the reason why that is to show you they all got there the same way. They got there washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we're going to be there, my friend. And that excludes all boasting on our behalf. One of the things the book of Romans teaches, and boy, I love the book of Romans. Maybe sometimes we'll teach through that book on the broadcast. But ask this question, Romans chapter 3, verse 26. It says, to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. There it says the Lord is just and he's the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Now listen to this. Where is boasting then? In this plan of salvation, which is by grace through faith, where is boasting? What's it say? Romans 3:27 says it is excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. It absolutely excludes boasting. And that's the fourth description of salvation. Salvation by grace through faith excludes boasting on man's behalf and puts boasting on the Savior's behalf. Paul said it himself in the book of Galatians chapter 6. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I to the Lord, or and I to the world. So it excludes boasting. We have no right to brag. Romans 4 says the same thing. It uses Abraham as an example. Paul uses Abraham as an example of a man that was saved by faith. It says Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But him that worketh not, as we read earlier, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So it excludes boasting. You got those four descriptions? Salvation's by grace, through the means of faith. It's a gift purchased by Jesus Christ, received by you. And it excludes boasting, saving the Savior. Now, what about works, though, Jeff? Let's look at verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. It brings works. That's the fifth description. A salvation that is by grace through faith will bring, as a result, works. It's not the cause, but it will indeed be the effect. It says, we are His workmanship. Jesus is the one that brought about our new birth. And He begins to do a work in you the day that you're saved. And He places in you a new nature. And He places in you the Holy Spirit, who begins to lead and guide you and cause you to grow as a Christian. And as a result of all of these changes that takes place, the new birth, the Holy Spirit, a new nature in you, it's going to bring about a change in your life. That's the reason why the Scripture says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That's the reason why James 2 says that faith without works is dead, because a true living faith in Jesus Christ will bring about a change in a person's life. Now, there's so many today that have made a profession of faith, and they did it maybe when they was a child, maybe 10, 12, 14 years old, and now they're about 60, and for about 40 years there or so, they've never had any desire to serve the Lord. They don't witness, they don't pray, they don't study the Bibles, they have no spiritual thirst whatsoever. You say, what's wrong with them people? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. It's evidence that they never had a new birth. Because we are His workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus in two good works. And the purpose of the good works is to bring glory to the Lord. Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, though we're not saved by our works, though we're totally saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, that salvation that is produced in us will produce good works as a result of the new nature, the new divine nature that He places in us, as a result of the Holy Spirit in us who leads us and guides us. It will produce a change in our life. And He begins to work in us, and He begins to progressively sanctify us, set us apart from the world, and we begin to mature as Christians. Now, my friend, if you can look at your life, and there's been no change. The profession of faith you made did not change you. You don't see a change, never have. And my friend, that's an evidence that it could be dead. You need to make your election and your calling sure. Well, folks, we're going to have to begin to stop. Those are five descriptions of salvation in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. It's by grace. It's through faith. It's a gift. It excludes boasting. But it also brings works as an effect of the change that the Holy Spirit brings in your life the day He brought about your new birth. Thank you so much for listening. If you're listening to me, if you never trusted the Messiah, I ask you to receive Him as your Savior right now.